Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning I'm going to be sharing a word that I believe is a light word, but I hope it really strengthens and encourages you. You know, the message is entitled, How the Lord Preserves. And most of us in this room, in fact, I'm pretty sure all of us want God to preserve us. You know, one of the things we all want to do is finish our race. We want to finish strong. You know, the Bible tells us about how we should run the race to the end. We should finish strong. And the word preserve is a powerful word, which we'll look at in just a moment. Let's go straight to Psalm 121, verse number 5. But I want to say this, and this is important before we get into the text this morning. The most important key I'm going to give you is that you need to know that preservation comes from relationship. And in fact, as we go on this morning, I'm going to give you 6 points this morning because that's what I found in Scripture. I'm sure there's more, you know, and I'm not giving you the complete because the Bible is really full of the Word. It's powerful. There's much to take from it. But I'm going to give you 6 keys to preservation this morning, and I believe it'll encourage you. Let's go to Psalm 121, verse number 5. We'll start there. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from evil. Can you all say amen? Amen. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. From this time forth and even forevermore. This scripture is so powerful, because it talks about how the Lord will preserve your going out, your coming in. He'll preserve you in the daytime. He'll preserve you in the nighttime. And He will preserve you now and forevermore. And it's powerful because the word preserve in the Hebrew, and a lot of the text this morning will come out of the Old Testament. The word preserve in the Hebrew means to keep, to watch, to guard. Now, if we take it into just literal English, how many of you know that if you want to have a good steak, you've got to preserve it? If you leave it out, it's going to go rotten. So preservation or preserving something means to keep it fresh, to keep it healthy, to keep it good, right? And so we want to make sure that our lives are preserved by God, that we don't go rotten. Because even though you've served God for a long time, I want you to know that you can go rotten. And so we don't want that, right? We want to stay with God in a position where we are fresh, where we are walking with Him, where we're in intimacy and relationship with Him. We want Him to preserve us in the morning. We want Him to preserve us in the night. We want Him to preserve us in our going out and our coming in. We want Him to preserve us all the time in everything so we can finish this race and finish it strong. And that's my desire. That's my desire. I don't want to be a bad piece of steak. and become like rotten meat. There's nothing worse, right? There's nothing better than a nice juicy. Okay, anyway, let's stop. We're going to be hungry right here. So let's start with point number one. We'll go to Psalm 25, verse 19. This is powerful. 6 points, 6 things that help us to stay preserved by God. Psalm 25, verse 19. Consider my enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. That's pretty intense right there. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. The first key that I'm going to give you this morning is if you want to be preserved from your enemies, if you want to be preserved from times of trouble, walk in integrity and uprightness. Walk in integrity and uprightness. Those two words really tie very nicely together. And what they show is they show honesty, they show morals, good morals, and purity. In other words, consider my enemies, for they're many, they hate me with cruel hatred. Deliver me from these enemies, God. So how do I do that? I do it by putting my trust in you. How do I know that I'm putting my trust in you? By walking in integrity and uprightness. Because you must understand, if your enemies are surrounding you and they're beginning to come against you with cruel hatred, you must understand that your response is going to determine your preservation. How do you respond to being attacked? How do you respond to being persecuted or whatever it is what's coming against you? You respond by walking in integrity. You respond by walking in uprightness before God. In other words, God, I choose your ways. I choose your word. I choose your truth over everything else. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I believe that you will raise up a standard against him. So I don't need to step into the battle and bring myself down to that level and operate out of the carnal, fleshly nature the way we so badly want to do when we get attacked. I mean, you know, when someone attacks you or accuses you, the first thing you want to do is find your boxing gloves. Unfortunately, generally, that attack doesn't come with boxing gloves. It comes with words. And those words hurt, and they hurt badly sometimes. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let the Lord fight your battle. You respond with integrity and uprightness. And the Bible says that he will preserve you. And he says this, redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. In other words, if you've been put in a situation where the attack has been really, really heavy, if you operate with righteousness, when you operate with integrity, you will find out that what will happen is God will not only protect you, but he will deliver you out of it. Can you say amen? He will deliver you out of it and he will preserve you. That's the first key. Let's go to the second one. Psalm 32, verse number 5. No, sorry. Yes. Let's go to Psalm 31, verse number 20. Psalm 31, verse number 20. Actually, no. Psalm 32, verse number 5. I was right the first time. You see, listen to the first voice. Psalm 32, verse number 5. This is powerful. Watch this now. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquities of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you, in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. This is so beautiful, so powerful. And the key to being preserved from trouble, the pre to being preserved out of trouble, is to first go to God and confess your sins. So point number two is confess your sins to God and he will preserve you out of trouble. Again, understand that this has everything to do with relationship. Everything I'm saying to you this morning has to do with relationship. If you don't want to confess your sins, there's a problem. Many people will teach a doctrine today that says we don't need to repent. We don't need to confess our sins. I'm going to give an example that I've given so many times, but I'm going to add to it this morning so that hopefully it inspires you even more. You know, it's kind of like, and I just like this example because it's just so basic and easy to understand. If I get the keys from my dad, his car, and I go out and I drive and I'm reckless and I crash his car, I come home, he's sitting on the couch, I say, hey, Pops, how's it going? Now, my dad's name is Apostle, so Pops is very appropriate. So I say, hey, Pops, here's the keys, good night. I come down in the morning, he's been outside, seen the car wreck. He's looking at me wondering, okay, what are you going to do, son? So I come in the room, hey, Pops, what's going on? He says, what happened to the car? Oh, you know, I wrecked it. We're all good, right? I'm your son. That's not practical. That's not relationship. Relationship is this. I arrive home. I have the keys. I walk in the door. Dad, I made a bad mistake. I'm so sorry I messed up and I crashed your car. Please, Dad, forgive me. He may punish me, but he will forgive me. He will love me. The restoration will take place. The relationship is real. Are you with me, guys? That's why confession is so important, because we go to God and we say, Lord, I have a real relationship with you. I might have messed up. I might have made a mistake. I'm sorry. I want nothing more than to keep our relationship strong, solid, and real. And out of that will come preservation from times of trouble. You see, it's when you don't do that, that trouble comes. So point number two is confess your sin to God and he will preserve you out of trouble. Let's go to Psalm 31 verse number 20 this morning. Psalm 31 verse number 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. The third key this morning is that God preserves those who are faithful to him. The word faithful really speaks of someone who is trustworthy. Someone who is trustworthy. God will protect you and preserve you when you are faithful to him. When you are faithful to his word. When you make decisions based on the fact that you trust him, that you're faithful to him. You see, many times in your walk with God, you will be faced with making a decision, making a choice. What choice are you going to make based on how you feel? Or are you going to make that decision or choice based on the fact that God says do it this way? If he says do it this way, be faithful to him. Be faithful to him. And when you do that, he will preserve you. You see, it may not feel like it in that moment. This business deal might look really, really good, but you know that it violates God's word. You know that it requires you to do something dishonest. Don't do it, because when you do it, you are betraying him. It may be a quick gain in the beginning, but down the road, there will be a lack of preservation. I'd rather lose more now and be preserved so that in the end, I finish strong. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Are you guys okay this morning? I don't normally preach this way, but this is what the Lord gave me. Amen, it's a miracle. Okay. Psalm 41, verse number 1. Now, this one seems kind of random in the mix of this, but understand, I looked at the word preserve, God preserving us, and these are the scriptures that came up. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. This is so powerful. The Bible tells us that if we consider, if we are helpful, if we are supportive to the poor, that God will deliver us from times of trouble. That he will keep us alive. I don't know about you. That sounds pretty good, right? Have you ever seen that there are individuals on the planet that just give to the poor? We're not talking about the church. We're talking about the poor, the needy. And we see how there are individuals that give to the poor constantly. And there seems to be this supernatural provision, this supernatural protection around them. It's like they just constantly continue to be blessed. There is a preservation that takes place in their lives because of their heart towards the poor. You see, God came not only to save everybody, but included in that is the poor. And especially us as believers, we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. So we have to also touch, consider the poor, and he will bless you, and he will preserve you. He will keep you alive, and he will keep you from times of trouble. There's other examples earlier on where he says he will deliver you out of trouble. But in this example, he is saying, you will not deliver me to the will of his enemies. In other words, he will not even allow you to get into it. Amen? So point number four is consider the poor and you will be preserved. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse number one. Psalm 16, verse number one. Now, this ties very much into being faithful, but it's a powerful principle. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And I love the scripture because it shows someone who understands that the only way that they can be preserved on this earth is by putting their trust in God. He is saying, my goodness is nothing apart from you. He's saying, I recognize, God, that I have to trust you. I love what Pastor William said. He spoke about basically putting your trust in God, putting your trust in God in every situation, and you'll see how you'll be blessed. You'll put your trust in your friend who will take care of you, who makes a commitment to provide for you at the end of the month. But he did say that in this service, right? Okay, so you all know what I'm talking about. But for many of us, it's so hard to put our trust in God because we don't believe that he'll take care of us. We don't trust him enough to believe that he takes care of us. How do you know if you trust God? You will obey his word. You will obey his word. Now, you can choose to obey his word out of law, or you can choose to obey his word out of relationship. You pick. I choose to do it out of relationship. The greatest thing that God has given me outside of eternal life is relationship with him. So I trust him. I trust him no matter what. It's not always easy because the flesh rises up and wants to take over and wants to do its own thing. But if we can learn to trust God, he will preserve us. I don't know about you, but that's so powerful. So point number five is he preserves those who put their trust in him. And I have one more point and then we'll close this morning. Psalm 97, verse number 10 says this, and this is so beautiful. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Point number six is love the Lord and hate evil. You know, in the first service, I gave an example of loving the Lord, but I used my wife as an example. You know, if I do something to hurt my wife, it hurts me. It affects me. You know, if I know that I've disappointed her, I might fight with her. But the truth is that if I know that I've hurt her, it really hurts me. I never want to, for lack of a better word, sin against her. I don't want to say something to hurt her. I don't want to do something to hurt her because what it does is it hurts me. That's what it means when it says we should love God and hate evil. In other words, we are so devoted to God. Our hearts are so devoted to him that we love him with all of our hearts. And anything that would grieve him or anything that would offend him, we hate it. We simply hate it. Paul said that sin lives in him, but the truth is, and I'm paraphrasing, that he absolutely hates it. That's what it means when we say that we hate sin. Listen, unfortunately, there will be sin present because you live in a fallen body, and that fallen body will always try to persuade you to do the things of the flesh. Many times we blame the devil when it's nothing more than your flesh. That's why the enemy so desperately goes after your heart. Because you see, when you begin to make decisions out of your heart, it has nothing to do with the enemy. So that's why this scripture to me is just the most powerful of them all in this whole teaching this morning. If we can love God and hate sin, hate what offends him, hate what hurts him. Because ultimately, the reason why he says this will hurt me is because he loves you so much and he knows it will hurt you. You see, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. We tend to think, this is so hard, God. Why are you doing this to us? Why did you make it like this? Where the truth is, no, he didn't do that. He made it like this to protect you from the enemy who caused us to be in a fallen world. I said in the first service, one of the things that you can see sometimes is that what happens to a person is that they begin to accept something They begin to accept sin. They begin to accept something that they know is against the Lord. And especially one, and I'm actually going to do a teaching on this, one of those is they begin to lie. I remember as a child, my father used to hate it when I lied. I didn't lie that often, guys. Don't look at me like that, okay? But I remember how it used to hurt him. I remember how it used to hurt him. And I actually can't wait to teach on this because it's one of the most powerful things. We think that, you know, what's the big deal? It's just a lie. Well, I want you to know sin entered with a lie. It was deception that didn't look like a lie, but it was. Okay, but we need to teach that another day. Let's stay with the message. Don't get yourself into a place where you begin to accept what the Lord hates because you begin to choose what isn't Him. And I taught you last week that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Guys, if we can get this right, just that one thing. You see, if we get that right, the second, which is like it, will be natural. Because if you can get the heart of God, you will love people. You will love them. And in your journey with God, you should be drawing closer to God, not further away from Him. And you cannot blame anybody if you begin to walk away, if you begin to drift away. The only person that's responsible for your relationship with God is you. I will always, as your pastor, try and point you back into the direction to getting into intimacy with Him, but ultimately it's your choice. Love Him, hate evil, and He will preserve you. He will preserve you. You'll make it. You'll run this race. You may fall and stumble many times, but you will make it if you can love Him and hate evil. Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, we stand in awe. We stand in awe of Your grace, of Your mercy, and of Your love. Lord, sometimes people will make statements. They'll say, well, you know, the God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament are two different characters. Not at all. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You have always done everything You can to restore us to Yourself because You love us so much. You have even done what is necessary to make sure that You protect Your people with everything that You can. Lord, we are so grateful to You. And Lord, if You hate it, I'm going to hate it too. If You love it, I'm going to love it too. But I ask, Lord, that You will give us the grace to be able to do this. Because in this fallen world, it's sometimes so difficult. So this morning we come to You, Lord. We lay our hearts before You. Like that song says, I give You my heart, Lord. This morning we lay our hearts before You, Father. Because the truth is, we can't do it. But what I can do is I can give You my heart. And I can ask You, Lord, to change it. Change it so that it follows You, so that it seeks after You. Because it's my desire. It's my desire to love You with all of it. It belongs to You, Lord. Have Your way, Father. And we thank You. We love You. We honor You. We praise You. And so I pray this morning for everyone in this place. Give them the grace, Lord. Give them the grace. Preserve them. Preserve our children. Preserve every one of us, Father, with Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. I thank You now. I thank You for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.